We're going to continue. Last week, we looked at the subject of act like men. And I kind of felt led to follow up on that a little bit because we looked at only verse 13, and really verse 14 ties in with it. Now, maybe you're a woman here today. This still applies to you. And maybe you're a single mom especially. And we talked last week about, you know, what it is to be a leader in the family. And, you know, we have a lot of single mothers these days, and that'll be a blessing for you. You know, as we looked at the idea of, you know, what it means to be a strong leader in the family, you know, we kind of looked at last week, sort of, I hope I didn't give that total, you know, implication about the tough guy mentality. You know, this week we're going to look at sometimes, you know, men need the softer side, right? We need to be that softer side. And what I like to look at is like tough and tender, and they need to go together. And it's a balancing act, and it's very, very difficult to do sometime. And I really believe that only with God's grace and God's direction can that be accomplished. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We're going to read verse 13 again, what we did last week, and then we're going to see verse 14 because they really tie together. It says, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." And a lot of us would like to stop right there. But the next scripture says, "Let all that you do be done in love." That's a different flip side, isn't it? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the power that's on the word of God to be able to transform and change our lives. Lord, right now we just thank you for the anointing to be here today to break every yoke of bondage on our lives, Lord. We know that many times the enemy brings strongholds to hold us in the bondage and make us think a certain way, maybe because of life experiences. But Lord, we thank you that your word breaks that bondage that's on our thinking. And Lord, help us to be able to see and to think as you want us to. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind you, Satan, from stealing the word in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, a little recap about last week. You know, there's four or five points that we looked at. Number one, we looked at be alert. You know, we kind of looked at standing watch. Remember the old Westerns or the war movies where somebody would keep watch. You know, it's talking about, you know, physically keeping watch for your family, but also it's talking about spiritually and morally. You know, as the head of the household and the leader in the family, you know, it is our responsibility to kind of guard our families about what's coming in. And, you know, and whether it be a husband or a wife or, you know, parents doing it together, that's something that we need to be aware of because it's our responsibility as we stand before God, you know, how we lead our families and, you know, how we govern our affairs. Next, it said to stand firm in the faith. You know, that talks about we need to have a working knowledge of God. You know, and how we do that is through the Word of God. I encourage you to read the Bible every day. You know, get a Bible reading plan, and you can read through the whole Bible in a year. It takes about 10 minutes a day. Very easy to do. You know, so I encourage, and then with that, you know, take some notes, jot some things down. You know, try to have understanding where things are in the Bible and just what it is. You know, buy a highlighter. You know, one that maybe doesn't bleed through. There's dry erase markers and things where you can mark your Bible up. And it's not sacrilegious to mark your Bible up. I mean, we're not defacing it. We're just doing things to help remember where things are. And that's only wisdom. So we need to, you know, have a working knowledge of the Word of God. Next, that scripture said, act like men. That's talking about to be brave with wisdom and the courage of a man. You know, it takes a little bit of courage, doesn't it? To be a man or to be a leader of the family because there's a lot of difficult decisions to make. You know, and you're not the most popular person in the family sometimes. Has anybody felt like they're very unpopular at their home sometimes? You know, because you kids are raising your hand. That's hard to believe that you guys are unpopular. I always thought you guys were the popular crowd. But anyway, you know, I was talking about parents. Sometimes, you know, we say that two-letter word, no. All of a sudden, you went from being a hero to a villain, right? I mean, being unpopular is just part of things, how it goes. Next, it says to be strong. And that's talking about leading the way while we live in a hostile world. You know, we live in a hostile world. You know, this is an anti-Christian environment that we live in today. You know, it would be nice to say that we're, America is a godly nation, but, you know, that would be a leap of faith, wouldn't it, sometimes, just to believe that, because the way things that are going on in the world today, you know, we've kind of walked away from God, you know, incrementally, just through certain steps. So now as a believer, you know, we're making a stand for some of our beliefs in a very hostile environment. So, you know, and really, I believe that the world is starving for godly leadership sometimes. Godly leadership, people to make a stand for what they really believe in, because there's so many fakes out there, so many counterfeits, that it's hard to find the genuine thing. But, you know, if our faith is genuine, and we're walking in the way that God's called us to do, and we're consistent and steady, you know, it's going to make an impact on the world around us. Now, that's a little bit about what we talked about last week. Now, we're going to look at the idea of love. Everybody loves love, right? Love's the main thing that people talk about today. You know, when I was a kid, that old song, "Love is a Many Splendored Thing." Remember that one? You know, some of you probably can relate to that, you know. And it's just, I'll spare you my singing. You guys know how I sing. So, but, you know, that love is something that, you know, we get threatened with sometimes. Oh, you're just not walking in love. We're going to look at love today, what God says about love. And I have a new revelation. I've been saved 30 years. But I Friday when I was studying, and I received a different look on love than I either, if I knew it, I forgot it. But it came through, and it's interesting. Not earth-shattering, but interesting. Amen? I don't want to brag it up too high. So the tough and tender balancing act, as you and I walk this walk, and the world, especially as men, you know, we need to be tough, we need to be a leader, we need to stand our ground, we need to, you know, do the manly thing sometimes. But yet, on the other hand, we need to walk in the tender side. And it's a very difficult balancing act. And a matter of fact, you know, most men probably have trouble doing both. Because sometimes in our thinking, they just seem so far apart. And many times we've bought into the lie that we have to be one or the other. My personality trait is, I'm a man's man. So I eat, you know, I eat pine cones and, you know, like all that stuff and just, you know, just tougher nails, you know. When I drink something, I drink it out of a dirty glass. You know what I mean? Remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoon? I'm sorry, that's one of my favorite. I spent my childhood watching Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. I mean, so sometimes some flashes come back in my head. You know, give it to me in a dirty glass. You know, he wanted milk. You know, that's what made him tough. But so the idea of being a lover and not a fighter, you know, some say that, or some say I'm a fighter, not a lover. You know, but we need both. You know, especially, you know, as we lead and we govern our families, you know, there's times when we have to be tough and there's times that we have to be tender. And sometimes when we're dealing with our children, one child can handle the tough love and the other child needs the tender love, just due to different personality traits. And it's up to us to really understand just how it is that we need to apply this vast wisdom that we feel God has given us. Amen? Because all of us have a lot of information at our disposal. Now, we as men and women, when I say this, just insert your role in there. You know, we need to represent the true character of God. And sometimes that's hard to do. Because growing up, I don't know about you, but I had a view of God that's not the same as my view is right now. Now, when I grew up, I didn't see God as being real nice for whatever reason. And it wasn't because my dad was mean. We're going to go into that a little bit here too. But it's just, I didn't really understand the concept. I knew Jesus died on the cross, but yet the idea of what God's character was like and is very difficult because, you know, and sometimes as we approach God as adults or as children today, you know, have you ever heard the old saying that sometimes we approach God and we come to know God and we understand Him based on our relationship with our earthly father? And if you had a father that was really mean and strict and tough and not fun at all, then when you approach your heavenly father, you kind of have that expectation when you come to him. And I think that's probably a little bit of truth, but, you know, I just want to say this. We can't use that as an excuse. Because a lot of people use that as a cop-out excuse of why it is that they can't serve God, because they don't understand Him. And, you know, I believe that, you know, God heals all these things. Maybe your earthly father wasn't the greatest guy. Maybe he was perfect. I don't know. But we can't let that be an excuse, because, you know, God is the healer. And as we understand, and that's why we need a working knowledge of the Word of God, because as we understand and read the Bible, we get a clearer picture of what our Heavenly Father's like. Now, I remember a story, and I always get a kick out of it, is that, you know, as, you know, we view God as a tough guy, you know, it's hard to approach Him. And I think Moses, you know, kind of went through this a little bit. You remember when God revealed Himself to Moses, and He said, "Hey, Moses, this is what I'm like." He says, I'm compassionate, and I'm slow to anger. You know, Moses was probably saying, "Say what? I seen the 10 plagues, man. I seen you part I saw you part the Red Sea, and I saw you close it up on the other army. You're one bad motor scooter. You know what I mean? You're a tough guy." But that was only one view of God, one side of God. God is like a diamond. You know, if you look at a diamond, it has many different facets. And you can see in different ways. But, you know, God was, you know, revealed Himself in a way that He wanted to start to show Himself to His people. Moses probably said, "Hey, God, you probably need to hire a public relations manager. Because I think most of the people down in the camp, they're afraid of you." And they were. They were afraid of Him. They said, "Moses, we don't want to talk to Him. We want you to go talk to God, you get the information, and then you come tell us what God said." They wanted no peace of God. And see, sometimes, you know, we have that idea of God, and sometimes as men, you know, we have that misunderstanding. I know as a man, I'm misunderstood. You men say, "Yeah, that's right, brother, preach it." You know, we're misunderstood sometimes. You know, I know sometimes I think I'm walking in love, and really, my family says I ain't. I'm not doing that right. Yeah. And that happens, you know. But, you know, the idea of what love is, and I think God wanted to reveal that. Now, in the New Testament, when Jesus came, it gave us a little better picture. You know, He came to reveal, you know, really what the Father was like. And Jesus was pretty well walked in love all the time. The only thing that really irritated Him was those who would take advantage of other people. You know, the money changers and things like that. And He wasn't a big fan of the Pharisees, the religion, you know, and things like that. But for the most part, you know, Jesus showed love. Now, we've went over these words before, and I just want to go over them again. You know, there's primarily four different words in the Greek language that talk about love. Now, one of them we won't discuss because it's not really that common. But, you know, the three that we really know about, number one is phileo. And that's brotherly love, and that's talking about the fellowship of friends. And that's where the word Philadelphia comes from, brotherly love. You know, and that's the kind of love that, you know, us believers should have towards each other. You know, hopefully you've developed some good Christian, you know, friendships, and you're walking in that kind of love and towards each other and, you know, being friendly and not being antisocial and things like that. And, you know, we need to walk in that kind of love. Well, the next kind of love is a little more, you know, something that I believe is should be only reserved between a husband and wife. And that's talking about eros love or erotic love. It's more of a love that is more sensual. It's not, even though in the world, you know, I think the world kind of markets this eros love. It tries to tap into the sensual realm. Now, I don't know about you, but I was thinking about this. Now, some of the commercials that come across there, do you really think you need a half-naked woman to get you to buy a hamburger? Think about it. Because when you buy the hamburger, you don't get the woman, do you? Right? So why do they tap into that to try to get us to buy something, men? See, they're tapping into the eros love, the sensual love, the erotic love, to try to tap into that area of our being to get us to buy something, to motivate us. Now, the next kind of love, which is the love that we need to be walking in, as you all know, many of you probably know, is agape love. Agape. And that's the what we call the God kind of love. Now, how I'd interpreted this love for the most part of my Christian walk, how it was explained to me, is that it's a sacrificial love. It's a love that that we love without being loved back. And as a leader, men and women, as a parent, sometimes you just have to love without being loved back, right? Because that's just part of the role. That's part of the, I don't want to say duty, but it is something that's expected of us. You know, not all the time is your kids going to love you. They're not going to love your decisions. You're not going to be number one fan of the family sometimes, you know, because you've made maybe a decision, you know, that you've made about certain things. And I really believe that's part of, you know, being a stronger believer is to be able to understand the reality of that's just how it is sometimes. But our culture has painted a different picture because, I don't know about you, but most of us, don't you want to be liked by your kids a little bit? You know, some parents set out and they make the mistake of wanting to be their kids' friend, their best friend, and it's good. I mean, if you feel your best friends, you know, with your kids, I mean, especially after they get up 18 to 20 and that relationship starts to come back to that, that's all good. But when they're little, man, if your goal in life is to be their best friend, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. Because if we base our decisions on how popular we're going to be as a leader, you might as well just become a politician. Right? Because if you're going for popularity, I just cut to the chase. Run for office, man. Do whatever the people want. Put your finger up. Oh, you want this? Sure, we can do that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can make that happen. And see, that's the world's idea of being popular. But what if you look up the word, I know many of you may know what a Strong's Concordance is. You know, Strong's Concordance is a concordance that has all the words in the Bible, the Greek words. And then under that Greek word, it's kind of like a dictionary. It tells what in the Greek that meant. And this word agape is Strong's Concordance number 26. 26, if you want to look it up. And I'll be honest, you know, I have it on electronically on, but I own a Strong's. It's I should have brought it in. It's about that thick, just big, and it's little print. You know, it has all these words in it and all the things. It's keyed towards the King James Version, and I think the Young's Analytical one is keyed towards the New American Standard, NIV, I can't remember, but it is keyed towards the King James, so if you purchase one, you know, you have to maybe look in the King James Bible to be able to look up the word if it isn't the same in your translation if you want to find out. But, you know, I really believe if Jesus came today, he'd preach in English, you know, because English is a common language. He chose Greek because Greek was a common language of the land then, because the Greeks had conquered. And they, one thing they did good was they brought education and brought everybody on one language. And that's, you know, primarily why, you know, the New Testament was spoken and written in Koine Greek. Now, if, like I said, if it happened today, probably English. English is the more common language. Greek isn't hardly spoken anywhere other than Greece, you know, and a few little pockets here where the Greek people live. But if you look up that Greek Strong's word number 26, something that jumped out of to me the other day is something I've never seen before. And it says that this word agape also means, because I remember I always seen it as sacrificial love. And the greatest picture I'd seen of that agape love, if you've heard the story, I've shared it a time or two, was the fact that this tree was on fire and this nest had a bunch of little baby birds in it. And the mother bird and the birds were too little to fly. So the mother bird was just flying around the nest frantically, just frantically, trying to get the little birds. I don't know what she's trying to get them to do, jump or something, I don't know. But the fire kept getting closer and closer to the nest, and the mother was flying around just chirping and carrying on, trying to get the birds to do something. Finally, the fire was just getting close to the nest, and it was about ready to hit the nest, and the mother bird swooped down, put her wings over the babies, and the fire engulfed them and killed them all. To me, that's agape love, the sacrificial love, the kind of love that Jesus went to the cross for you and me. Now, another facet, remember, love like God is multifacets like a diamond. Another revelation or what this word means is that It's the kind of love that means, it also means that God will do what is best for man and not necessarily what man desires. And that was a new revelation to me. That God, as a heavenly Father, and in His wisdom, He knows to do what's best for us, not necessarily what we're praying for or what we think we desire and need. And hopefully you see, as being a parent and a leader, what it means sometimes. So when you walk in love, no is also in love. You see what I mean? You know, you probably knew that before, but, you know, it ties in here because, it, to me, it talks about loving with wisdom and not just emotion. Because when we do all things in love, a lot of times we think love is a feeling. And we base our life on feelings. You know, sometimes, you know, I like to feel love. I know that. And, you know, it's a great feeling when you love somebody. But sometimes, you know, how many know in marriage, I don't know about you, maybe you guys are perfect and I'm not, but I don't feel love towards my wife all the time. I don't have that gushy feeling, you know? And so then love, we need to operate in wisdom because them feelings come and go. But the worst thing we can do as a leader is, you know, give in, because this kind of love will strengthen us so that we don't give in to pressure. Now, here's what happens. It's happened to me, and I'll just be transparent. My kids have told me they hate me. I don't know if you've ever had that. First time that comes out of their mouth, you go, ugh. And they're 3 years old already. No, I'm just kidding. They're older than that. They were teenagers. I hate you. And you as a parent go, whoa, where'd that come from? All I did was say no. My parents did it to me all the time. No. Okay. How about this? We'll see. Well, that means no. You know, how many know that one? As your kids grow up, when parents say we'll see, that means no. That means I'm putting you off till later, hoping you'll forget about it, but really, it means no. Okay. So, what happens in this, when you hear that, a lot of parents make the mistake that when their kids say, I hate you, then you think, you know, my parents were strict, and I hated them at the time. I don't want my kids to hate me like I hated my parents. So I'm going to give in. I want to be loved. I don't want to have the same relationship growing up as I had with my dad. So I'm going to be the good dad. Or I'm going to be the good mom. And I'm going to let them have what they want. So they'll like me. So we'll have a better relationship. Wrong. Right? That happens, doesn't it? You know, when we feel that we have to do that to be loved and we compromise, we're not really walking in love. We're not walking in love because what's going to happen is that because sometimes we're afraid to teach our children delayed gratification because our kids want instant gratification. We all do. We want it now. But love, agape love, sometimes can see the big picture because that's what we need to do. We need to, you know, as we lead, you know, so walking in love doesn't mean just give them what they want. Sometimes walking in love means walking in wisdom, being able to see the big picture and be able to say no, because if we don't, if we're the kind of leader or parent that only gives our, that always gives our children instant gratification, we are creating monsters. And they will come out at the worst time, won't they? Going through the checkout line at a store? Hello. I want that candy bar. No. Start going crazy. Destroying the whole store, you know, just because you can't have that. So we need to teach our children this, you know, delayed gratification, which is good. You know, there's an old story, and I probably shouldn't even use this as an illustration because I don't think one of us will probably remember it. is that there used to be a show, and it was only on from 1954 to 1960. I was born in 59, so I never watched it either. But it's called Fathers Knows Best. Some of you may have seen reruns. There might be some clips on it around there. But, you know, it's an old show back in the good old days when, you know, if a kid needed advice, they would go to their dad. You know what I mean? Because they knew dad, father knows best. Dad was a wise man. You know, today the dads go to the kids for advice, don't they? On TV. That sells more TV. You know, so the idea of a wise man, you know, has been, you know, kicked out of our culture to some degree. But, you know, we need to get back to that. So motivated by love. How do we do that? You know, as we do that, it's seeing that what's best for the other person and what's not just best for me. That's when we walk in love. You know, if we walk in eros love sometimes is only a self-satisfying love. It's a love where I get what I want. I don't really care if you get what you want out of this deal. But agape love, the kind of love that this is talking about in the Greek, if you look it up, that's what the scripture is, the word agape, you know, is talking about the kind of love, you know, that really is best for the other person. Now, the little bit of, you know, history about this, the Corinthian church had troubles. And this letter was the 1 Corinthians, as well as to us. There was a church that was riddled with strife. Remember, some said, I'm of Apollo, I'm of Paul. You know, they were picking cliques. Also, they had issues, you know, at the communion table. And 1 Corinthians 11, it was talking about problems where, you know, people would come there, the poor and the rich would come to have communion together. And they would have a love feast. And love feast means they loved each other. Not a bad, you know, it was a good thing. Other than the fact when they brought food, the rich people would eat really well. And the poor people wouldn't have anything to eat. So that would cause strife. Not about you, but isn't it hard sometimes to think about, I want the best for somebody you're in strife with? That's hard. I don't know. I can't. It's hard to do it. I don't know if I can. It's tough. You know, you can do it by faith, and that's a Christian cop-out sometimes. Oh, I'm just going to love them by faith. Well, you need to pray that God will give you that real love. You know, not just love people by faith. So what I think is the idea that, you know, let all things be done in love. It says in verse 14 there, it says, you know, that love needs to be the motivation so that we can act like men and we can be a strong leader. So we can be able to see what needs to be done and be able to walk in that. Now, sometimes as we live our life, you know, we see because I believe this kind of love steps back and sees the big picture, what's best for your kids versus a snapshot. And with snapshots, isn't Snapchat a snapshot? I don't do Snapchat, you know, but I know the kids do, and I think it's a picture that's taken, then it comes across your phone real quick, and then I think it goes away, right? Something like that. But anyway, you know, sometimes a snapshot doesn't tell the whole story. And what I mean by that is, you know, as a minister, I've made a choice. I don't drink. Now, sometimes there's beer cans out in the parking lot. So if I'm out there picking up a beer can and I have it like this and somebody drives by and takes a picture and that flies all over the internet, is that really telling the whole story, the big picture? It's not, is it? It leaves something to be, you know, to the imagination. Pastor's doing it, I can do it. Or maybe you see me up on the square and I'm hugging a woman. Hello. And you think, whoa, what's Pastor doing? But you didn't see the fact I just got through praying for him because I lost a loved one. And they were in tears and they wanted to give me a hug. See, that's a snapshot wouldn't give the big picture. And see, true love sees the big picture. And we got to stop living by snapshots and start stepping back and seeing the real picture for what it is as a leader, as somebody who governs our families. And I believe with God, it'll help us. Okay, so how do we apply this in closing? Number one, you constantly check your motivation of why you do things. I'm doing this all the time. You know, motivational checkups are good. You know, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why do I feel this way? I mean, I don't go around just inspecting my whole life, you know, but, you know, I try to, you know, check our motivations. Next, care for others as much as you care for yourself. That's hard, isn't it, sometimes? Don't be afraid to be tough. And in saying that, don't be afraid to be tender. So as we lead and govern our families, know that God will give us the wisdom. And it's okay to say no, because no could be the highest form of love there is. Now, what I feel is that sometimes if we really love somebody, we're going to warn them, right? You know, if I was floating down a river, just kind of kicking back, and you knew there's a waterfall about a half a mile down the river, and you say, oh, that's his right to do that. He's just having fun. Look at him. He's just having a good time. And you just let me go. Did you love me? No. Love was, hey, there's a waterfall down there. There's danger ahead. It's a warning. So as we, as men and women, navigate through the troubled waters of life, know this, living a life of faith motivated by love is the best life there is. Attacks will come, battles will be waged, some even may be lost. But staying true to God and His Word is the best life there is, because through Him we win, and because of Him we've already won. Amen? Let's pray.